This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 22nd of February 2016 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today I'm joined by Jane Morris, editor of the Art Newspaper, for a quick whip around of some of the best art shows here in London. This week we discuss the solo exhibition in the UK for French-Swiss artist Julien Charrière, plus a technology show at the Whitechapel Gallery titled Electronic Superhighway, plus Tate Modern's performing for the camera. That is all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. And as promised, here is Jane Morris.
Hello.
With an art newspaper tucked around her arm. Why not? But a brand placement on the Monocle Arts Review. I'm only joking. I mean that in a radio sense. Really nice to see you again, Jane.
Nice to see
Let's
you.
Go straight in to Julien Charrière. He's at the Parasol Unit. That's an interesting space itself. Maybe we can fill listeners in very quickly on what that space is.
It's an independent space. It's run by a woman called Ziba Ardalan. She's a curator. I believe her husband, Pierre de Weck, is head of one of the big banks. I think it's Deutsche Bank, but we would have to check that. And she founded the space, I think, about 20 years ago. And it's gradually built up a very solid reputation for showing up-and-coming artists, for showing artists that perhaps are older that have not had such exposure. Mm. And it's like a proper museum space, actually.
And Julien Charrière, I have to confess, he is a name I know, but his work I don't.
Well, you did better than me, because okay. I didn't even know his name.
I did think he was a long-distance runner, though.
Uh-huh, okay. he's 28 years old. He's Swiss. He's based in Berlin, isn't everybody? Mm. He is a student of Olaf Eliasson. He's on the continent. Some art schools have a system where professors basically pick their students. So he's one of those kind of people, which means he'll have had quite a long and intense relationship with Olaf Eliasson as his tutor, which does actually, to some extent, show in the work on show.
Are we talking about monumental things here?
They're not monumental, but they have quite a lot of the sort of same concerns, or some of the same concerns. Mm. There's a strong sense of ecology running through the work. He's obviously interested in science and the science of materials. And there is one work which clearly references Buckminster Fuller, and as we all know, Olaf Eliasson is obsessed with Buckminster Fuller. So there is some sort of clear relationship between Eliasson and Charrière in the kind of things they're concerned about. It's a very good looking show. It's basically sculpture and one video and three photographs.
I like that as a bit of terminology. It's a good looking show. We talk about paintings, we talk about sculptures, we talk about art all the time. We very rarely describe something as a good looking show. Maybe you do. I like that.
Yeah, no, it is a very good looking show.
Yes, it's half the battle, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And I like one of the things that maybe we can talk about this, piece in relation to the larger show, Future Fossils Spaces. These do sound like kind of interesting, kind of, yeah, futuristic, ecologically inclined pieces.
Well, this is the work you see when you walk into the space. Mm. So what he's done, he's gone to a place called Sala de Uyuni, which is in the Bolivian Andes. And a bit like Julien Charrière, I'd never heard of Sala de Uyuni. but apparently it's covered in massive salt flats. And the salt contains lithium. So the lithium is bonded into the salt crystals. It's basically one of the world's largest deposits of lithium, not tremendously exploited, apparently, in this region at the moment. And what the work is, the sculptures consist of towers of salt blocks, which are quite sculptural and beautiful in their own right. And there are some pans at the bottom, which are supposedly salt and lithium together. I'm not sure how stable lithium is by itself, so I think it is lithium bonded to the salt in water. And what it's really about is that there's this very ancient landscape with these very poor people, and yet a material that is absolutely essential to modern computing. And, you know, it's the batteries in our smartphones and it's the batteries in our computers. And a very valuable material is being extracted. The people there can't use the technology that it goes into, and I think the whole thing is it. I wouldn't really say it's an ecological piece in the sense of I don't think he's really criticising it, but he's definitely making some kind of point about the old and the new and the globalisation and the change in society.
Yeah, it sounds like a fascinating piece. Future Fossils
is a
fantastic name for it as well. Okay, well, that's Julien Charrière at the ever-interesting Parasol.
This one is definitely worth a look at. Ziba Ardalan has a good reputation for picking artists who we'll all be hearing about in 4 or 5 years' time.
Yeah, perfect. So there he is. And that show, by the way, is called For They That Sow the Wind. Rather nice. Slightly Bob Dylan-ish.
Very, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. And that's on until the 23rd of March at the Parasol Unit, as discussed. Now we're going to talk, Jane, about Electronic Superhighway at the Whitechapel Gallery. Well, we've both seen this one. It's a show of two halves, like any football match, like any website. But talk us through this one.
Well, I think this is one. It's an interesting show, this one. It's very, very, very crammed. This seems to be the latest Whitechapel style. The Adventures of the Black Square was similarly crammed. So if you go to see this one, and I would recommend that anyone who's interested in where computer art, video art are going, goes and sees it. But I would allow quite a lot of time, and you might want to go on your own because you might find whoever's with you gets a little bit impatient because there's an awful lot of video to sit through. There's a lot of things to interact with. Quite a lot of things are difficult to understand, I would say, and you might be helped by the catalogue, although the catalogue is quite expensive. As you say, it's arranged in two parts. The title is actually Electronic Superhighway 2016 to 1966.
Sort of going back to the future.
We are indeed going backwards. The ground floor is full of the works made between 2016 and 2000. So inevitably, they are the more sort of technologically whizzy, I would say.
Yeah.
And upstairs, we are definitely going into the history of early video and computer art.
We're going a bit BBC Micro.
It's very archival,
yeah.
I would say.
For our listeners, I'll just describe the face that Jane Morris is using to describe this. It's a bit of a screwed up face.
Yeah, okay. It's certainly, I would say, although one of my favourite works in the show, which is actually by Nam June Paik, the title relates to Electronic Superhighway is a phrase that he coined in an essay and in a work. It is a great shame that they don't have the work that is actually called Electronic Superhighway because it is a brilliant piece. It's at the Smithsonian. But some of the others, I would say, are challenging in that there are quite a lot of old analogue televisions with some quite grainy footage, with some industrial noise on headphones. I think we're all getting the idea. There is quite a lot of the dripping tap of the video art world in here. Only for a section, though. And if you're into that stuff, then you're going to be very, very happy indeed. If you're not into that stuff, I think you might just probably want to read the catalogue and move on.
The bottom floor, the floor on which you enter the show is kind of an interesting thing because it sort of embraces the cacophony that the internet is by lots of video pieces and sound installations sort of shouting over each other.
Yes,
and I wonder what you think of that. It is an exhibition that's making an artistic point outside of the art that it's showing. But I wonder what you think of that, whether you think that's a bit annoying. I don't know.
Actually, I thought it was quite successful downstairs. Mm. Apart from there was one quite interesting video by an artist who's also very much on the up, called Camille Honreau. And, you know, you couldn't really hear the poem. You need to hear the poem that goes with it. It's called, I think, The History of the Universe.
This is the layering of things and things coming into shot and people unwrapping things with their hands.
It's quite
spellbinding, that.
Yeah, the objects are, a lot of them are from Captain Cook's voyages. At least I guess they're from the Captain Cook voyage because I've seen quite a lot of those in museum stores over my career.
Taxidermy birds and drawers of detailed things and bugs. And things.
Yes, I believe a lot of them came back on the expeditions. But there's a poem that goes with it, and it's supposed to be all sorts of different cultures' creation myths. You couldn't really hear it because across the road was another very good video by Ryan Trecartin, another sort of favourite.
Which is very loud.
Which is incredibly loud and is shouting over all of it. I did think, though, that the show was very interesting because I think what you get is that there's quite a confused attitude to computing, internet, video. And I think everyone's confusion is somewhat manifest in particularly in the ground floor, you know, you see that some artists are really using digital to produce quite traditional type images. And they might almost be painting. They've just been made with some digital trickery. But other things are absolutely, totally referencing the world of selfies and Instagram. Mm. So, no, it's a really interesting show, and it's one of those ones that I've been thinking about. I've now seen it twice, and I've been thinking about it quite a lot. Aspects of it are definitely frustrating, but I think it's worth going to if you really want to get your head around what the ideas about this kind of art are now.
Yeah, I think that exactly. It is one of those things that you kind of, you owe it to yourself to see it.
Yeah,
but take it with a bit of a pinch of, maybe put your earplugs in.
Well, I think you're going to find some stuff that you really like and really dislike, and probably what you really like and really dislike won't match the person next door. So it's interesting in that way.
Don't go on a first date, is what Jane Morris is saying.
No, I definitely wouldn't. In fact, I wouldn't even go on a long date. No. I think you could find your partner quite irritated.
So that was Electronic Superhighway at the Whitechapel Gallery, and that show is on until the 15th of May. We're going to finish, Jane, with performing for the camera at Tate Modern. And this is an interesting idea because it is not just a survey show of photography over the years, but it's how it's a bit like that idea of Roland Barthes, I suppose, about the face you make in front of a camera, isn't it?
That's certainly one of the aspects of the show, definitely. A bit like the Whitechapel show, I think this is one of these shows that if you want to get your head around the idea of performance and photography and how those two things relate, and arguably performance photography and sculpture, because some of the works very clearly reference sculpture as well, then this is the show for you. Again, it is a little bit geeky. There are 500 photographs in 14 rooms. It's a big show. Mm. There's a lot to see. A lot of it does look, particularly initially, quite similar. And I mean, I think it's a very, very important show, this, actually. But again, I wouldn't take, if this is the first ever art exhibition you're going to go to see, or you're a little bit interested in photography and don't know a lot about it, I'm not sure this is quite where you would start. It's looking, as I say, at lots of issues. Like at the beginning, it actually sets its stall out at the beginning. At the beginning, there is a very famous photograph by Yves Klein, Leaping into the Void, it's called, and it's him throwing himself out of a window, apparently. Well, actually, he did throw himself out of a window. But underneath him, there were his friends waiting to catch him. And there were two photographers whose work runs all the way through this exhibition, called Harry Schunk and Janos Kender. Schunk Kender are the major documenters of most performance art in Paris and New York from the sort of 50s to the 70s. So that's an artist making a performance, being photographed by photographers who become quite recognised for this kind of work. And then there is another photograph of Charles Ray enacting a sculpture. He's sort of balanced between the wall and a plank. And the final work is a very famous one of bathers leaping out also into the void, but taken by a photographer. So right away, we've got the idea of artist, sculptor, photographer, and what the relationship between all of them is going to be.
And there is, I think, also an element of how we photobomb and how we and selfie culture and how, yeah, there's the artistry of taking a photograph and what it means if you're an artist or you take a good photograph but you're an amateur and what that means. And then there is the idea as I say, the face you make when you're posing.
There's actually a link between the Whitechapel show and performing for the camera, because both of them contain...
Both of them on the district line.
There's an artist called Amalia Ullman. She's an Argentinian-born Spanish artist. And she has made a work that some people have called the first Instagram masterpiece. There are some pictures of it in Electronic Superhighway. You will actually get a better idea of it in performing for the camera, because they've got it on a digital screen that you can play with. She basically did a performance where she created a character. She went to LA. She got a drug habit. She took up mad diets. She has plastic surgery done, etc., etc. It's totally fake, but it was really, really convincingly done on Instagram. So there are people responding to her, there are people trolling her, there are people suggesting procedures to her, and she kept this up for about 4 months. Obviously, the point of that is that we should look at what gets posted on Facebook and Instagram with a considerably more jaded and sceptical eye. And I think I say it's interesting that both of them are in both shows because it's becoming probably one of the iconic, and that I hesitate to use that word, but it is becoming one of the iconic works made on social media, artworks that I think most people think is a really, really successful work.
It's fascinating stuff. It really is. And maybe a little bit deeper than Richard Prince's forays into Instagram.
I think so.
But listeners can make up their own minds. Okay.
If you have a look at Richard Prince on Instagram, you will see what we mean.
Yeah, we see what we mean. That was performing for the camera at Tate Modern. Before that, it was Electronic Superhighway at the Whitechapel Gallery. We started talking about Julien Charrière at Parasol Unit. It's fascinating stuff. Jane Morris is brilliant at talking about it. Thank you so much for coming in. That was the Monocle Arts Review, all about art this week with Jane Morris and me, Robert Bound. My producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and our studio manager was Toby Hammond. Join us at the same time, same place next week. Thanks for tuning in.